Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
By the way, for the record, Kenny Trill, the real Trill, took Paulie's bet that the Yankees, now that means, Trill, you're on the side of they won't, that Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge will not hit 115 home runs or more, which is the record that was set by Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle, the M&M boys, in 61, the year of expansion in baseball. So you're on the underside of that. They hit 111 combined last year. The record's 115. So Paulie and Cape is saying, and Cape Coral is saying, they go over 115 home runs. He put $25 at Hooters on that for you. So there you go. Just want to make sure we got that out there. It's on record now, okay? Just want to make sure it's on record now before, because they're liable to hit 115 home runs by, like, Wednesday of next week, the way they, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Brent Sobolewski does an incredible job covering the NFL for the Bleacher Report. This is his wheelhouse this time of year. And he joins us now on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Sobo, welcome back. How are you?
Good Friday to you, sir.
A very good Friday. And, yes, happy Resurrection Weekend to you. And, by the way, before it gets any darker, let me just say to all our Jewish friends out there, happy Passover. I know Passover starts tonight at sundown, so I don't want to ignore that as well. Passover beginning tonight at sundown. Okay, speaking of Passover... What a segue this is. Josh Rosen. I got a guy, a buddy of mine who's Jewish, that is on the air for NBC Sports Radio out of New York City. He thinks they ought to draft Josh Rosen because of the big Jewish influence there, and that a quarterback named Josh Rosen would be an instant hit in New York. So what do you think? Now we got to add that into the mix, the Jewish factor. I don't even know if he's Jewish or not, but Josh Rosen is, you know, the Rosen one is certainly a Jewish name.
Well, I do believe he would be in his element in the Big Apple for those type of purposes. I'm not exactly sure, but just the fact that he's such an outspoken, intelligent young man who's willing to put out exactly how he feels in certain situations that is perfect for that New York media and could either be a wonderful collaboration or it could potentially implode. And it's good for the rest of us to watch one way or the other. And it's very similar to Baker Mayfield. You know, you kind of want to see how those guys would do in that atmosphere. Whereas, you know, you're looking for a different type of mentality when it comes to the Cleveland Browns or the Buffalo Bills or those type of Rust Belt teams that expect to have harder-nosed quarterbacks with that are driven by hard work and not necessarily the personalities. And while personally I don't believe those narratives fully encapsulate these prospects this year, it's certainly out there and it's certainly in consideration for teams as they do their background checks and trying to become more comfortable with the individuals as much as the football players.
That's why I worry about both the Cali kids there, Rosen and Sam Darnold, you know, going to someplace like a Cleveland where I don't know, man. I don't know if that fits. I mean, I think that mentally, a Josh Allen, a Wyoming kid, a Cowboy, or a Baker Mayfield might be more well received on the North Coast.
Well, Tom, I don't want to put you on the spot, but Josh Allen is from Firestone, California. So that's
another California. The hell with him too. Then he 37. If we're to believe these, these numbers that were leaked, these Wonderlic numbers that were leaked, 37. That's you know Andrew Luck territory. That's up there pretty high for the Wonderlic. Josh Rosen 29, Darnold 28, Mayfield 25, and Lamar Jackson a Vince Youngish 13 on the Wonderlic. Not good.
I mean, you could find examples on both sides of the scale, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick scoring a perfect on the score with a 50 overall. Yes, he's had a long career, but he never exactly turned into a franchise quarterback. So it doesn't give you an indicator that the truly intelligent and those coming out of the Ivy League are better quarterback prospects than, say, I don't know, Dan Marino, who scored a legendary 13 on the Wonderlic score and became one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. So I know why. We hear the scores, people are interested, and to an extent it's used as an evaluation tool, but we blow it way out of proportion. And it's something that we need to take into consideration, yet not make a defining discussion regarding these young men. Because if you speak with a Lamar Jackson or speak with a Josh Allen, yes, they have certain personalities, and yes, they're both intelligent young men. They just may not be representative of the in that situation, depending on how the test is given, how it's set up, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't put much stock in those things, but it's something that certainly drives the narrative this time of year.
Yeah, well, it's part of the, you know, it's all part of what makes up, you know, what they put into the mixer when they try to determine when they make their picks. But I don't. You remember George Young, don't you? You're old enough to remember George Young, the old the GM of the Giants, right? He had an interesting comment. He said that you didn't want players to have too high a Wonderlic score because that would be problematic. Coaches don't like extremes at either end. And he also said that, and this sounds terrible, but I know where he's going with this. He said you don't want your defensive players to have too high a Wonderlic score. Somewhere in the teens is fine for a linebacker or a defensive back or a defensive end, you know, guys like that. And I found that fascinating. That you know that you want to have guys that are not necessarily rocket scientists that are over there playing defense, doing something that the normal human being wouldn't be asked to do in life.
It's the see ball, get ball mentality.
Yeah,
there you go. Coaching staffs want individuals who are totally engrossed in the game that completely sell out and don't have options. And it's held against those like a Josh Rosen who come from an affluent family, who are very intelligent, who has options outside of the sport once he retires or even before then, depending on what he decides to do in his life. And you hear those murmurs every single year for certain prospects. And I remember the one that was most prevalent, and he didn't turn out to be much in the NFL, but I remember discussing it with him at the NFL Combine was fullback Owen Marisic, who came out of Stanford, also had a future as a potential neurosurgeon, played for John Harbaugh, eventually played for the Cleveland Browns, not well, might I add. But at that time, even though he was a two-way player on a powerhouse program, which it was that Stanford had become at that point, he had to answer more questions about what he was going to do outside of football than his actual acumen on the football field and how much he loved the game. And that's held against a lot of different prospects. We don't discuss it enough, but it's absolute fact of the matter that if you have options, that's a red flag for teams. And we've gotten to the point where the pre-draft preparation that's being fronted by agents are telling kids not to discuss what they want to do outside of football, whether it be politics or career aspirations or anything beyond the sport, because teams prefer players who don't have those options. It's a sad fact of life, but it's what we've devolved into throughout this draft process.
Brent Soboleski with us from the Bleacher Report. What do you think about this, with the changes that the NFL made? And thank God, in my opinion, that the 15-yard pass interference rule went in the tank. They cleaned up the catch rule. We think they cleaned up the catch rule. I mean, who knows? But now they've added this helmet-to-helmet rule, the lowering the helmet, and they've put another layer of judgment call in the hands of the referees as to what intent was, as if you can decide what another man's intent was at 100 miles an hour on a football field. Leading with the helmet. I saw some of your tweets. I disagreed with one of them, but my answer was so long I couldn't even get it out there. Having been an old defensive coach, you know, leading with that, putting the face on the ball, your head naturally leads. If you use proper technique, this is not a risky thing. I mean, you're supposed to, if you're seeing what you're hit, your face is up, you put your face mask on the ball, you naturally lead with your head. It's the rolling of the head that creates the problem. That's spearing. There's something for that on the books now. But this makes it sound like even a casual brushing of the helmet to helmet that would happen just in a normal play could result in a guy getting thrown out of a game and a referee that now has to make that judgment.
I was surprised about the backlash to this rule because essentially it's an extension of rules that already existed, mm-hmm. Whether it be spearing as we used to call it, or mm-hmm. leading with the crown of the helmet today. But it needed to be cleaned up for two reasons. First of all, we have multiple instances during the season last year where it was obvious that hits caused concussions. And whether I can point to Danny Trevathan in the Chicago Bears when they played, I believe it was the Green Bay Packers, we had the wide receiver that was carted off the field and had to leave in the ambulance. Another example was Joe Flacco being blasted by Kiko Alonso, where Flacco suffered a concussion as well. These are the obvious hits that I expect to fall in line with that call, because in each of those instances, even though it was at the discretion of the officials to remove those players from the game due to the personal foul penalty, it never happened. So to me, it's an extension of that, all those rules already in place, just to be more severely enforced, which is a positive. I understand the argument that the speed of the game doesn't always allow you to do a proper form tackle. Believe me, I got a lot of blowback simply because I stated I like the fact that we can start pointing towards better overall fundamentals when the reality is that's not always an option. I get that. I'm not arguing that that's not going to happen. What I'm arguing is I believe, first and foremost, that we need to bring fundamentals to the forefront, which hasn't been the case for a long time. Too many players have been taught improper technique and mm-hmm. always are consistently looking for the highlight reel blows, especially across the middle. And then second of all, I want to have those calls enforced to their fullest. And even when the speed of the game is to such a point that it may be a detriment to the defense, it's better for the NFL to err on the side of safety, especially with the prevalence of concussions and head injuries and everything that goes along with that in today's game, than to do what they did last year and allow those hits to happen, throw penalty flags, and leave those players in the game. So to me, it's about safety. It's about fundamentals. It's about making the game of football the way it should be played instead of what we've seen in the last few seasons.
Brent Soboleski was from the Bleacher Report, and you're hitting it on the head when you say fundamentals. I'm going to tell you right now, I fathered four sons that all played football. When they played youth football, I didn't see any real, true, fundamental tackling drills. These kids all watch SportsCenter. They see the big hits. They go for the big hits. The tackling drill that I used as a college football coach, I got from Bill Belichick when I was 26 years old, and he was the head football coach of the Cleveland Browns. And, I take that back, 31 years old. And he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and I went to practices, and I spent a lot of time there as a visiting college coach and was on the inside for quite a while. And this is when Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator there. And the drill was a three-quarter speed drill done without pads on and then done with pads on, and it was done every one of the 4 days I was at practice. And what it was when you came in and you sink your hips, you actually fire your head backwards. All right, you fire your chin out and you throw your head back and you throw your chest forward and you get chest to chest and you fire your arms and you wrap up. And they showed, Bill Belichick demonstrated it, how when you lower your head, your arms get shorter because your head goes all the way to the middle of your forearms and you got no arms left to wrap up with. And the proper way to tackle is to fire your chest forward, fire your head back, actually out of the contact, chest to chest, wrap up, drop your hips, sink your hips, roll your hips. And they did this over and over and over again as a fundamental tackling drill. I used it for 6 years as a college coach. I very, very rarely ever see any of these kind of fundamental drills taught anymore. And I just don't know when it became tackling that you went in with the crown of your head first. I don't know when that happened in football, because that's not the way the best tacklers were ever taught. All you got to do is watch rugby from Europe and see how those guys tackle without a helmet on, and you see proper tackling.
And some of the NFL teams have adapted that. And the Seahawks, most famously, when they actually made a video of the rugby-style tackling. Now, granted, that type of tackling has been in football for decades, and I was taught that way as well. And it's something that's been problematic for a very long time. And I believe when we see high-profile cases like Ryan Shazier, or if you even go back quite a few years now, 10, 15 years, to Eric LeGrand at Rutgers, these are spinal injuries that could have been prevented simply by a proper form tackle. And most people don't want to say that publicly, but it's the honest-to-God truth. And while those two that I specifically pointed to are inspirations, and I will always wish the best for them, their lives could have been better off if they had been taught properly. And that's the sad fact of the matter, because when I look at it, fundamentals are going by the wayside. And it's not necessarily the coach's fault. It's the way that we've tried to peel back so many of the regulations when it comes to, or excuse me, add regulations when it comes to practice time, as much time as they're allowed having pads on in the first place. You know, there's less and less time today at the collegiate and NFL levels to practice than there's ever been before. I mean, you're having kids at the high school level who aren't even allowed to have pads on twice a day in double sessions. Yeah. That's where we've gone. And it's a direct reflection of that issue moving forward. And the sport itself is poor because the players from high school all the way to the NFL are far less prepared than they've ever been in the game's history.
And then you get the CFL in leagues like this now that are banning all padded practice for the entire season, that there are no padded practices anymore for the entire season. It's gotten out of control. And I'm very simple about this all the time. I say the same thing. You have to practice football to play football. Football is a sport that you have to practice it as football. And the reality is that it's a violent game and people are going to get hurt. There are going to be things that you can't avoid. It's going to happen. You can't legislate all of the head contact out of the game. And, so it's going to be up to the players to protect themselves and to play the game properly. Brent Sobolewski with us. All right, let's get off that for a second. Are you surprised at what Jay Gruden said about Alex Smith versus Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins is the highest paid player in the NFL right now, at least until, Aaron Rodgers gets his deal and whoever else does. But Alex Smith is a nice quarterback, certainly. He's never been mistaken for a superstar. Forever, it took him forever to get going. He was beat out by, Colin Kaepernick. But Jay Gruden says that without a doubt, they're much better at quarterback now with Alex Smith than they were with Kirk Cousins. Is that surprising to you to hear that?
Not at all. And maybe this is my own biases a little bit, but when I look at Alex Smith last year, he was an elite quarterback for portions of that season within the MVP conversation. So if Jay Gruden is specifically talking toward what occurred last year, Alex Smith is a superior quarterback coming into this situation. Kirk Cousins is a good facilitator. He's an above-average quarterback, but I've never included him among the elite within the league. Yes, he's had 4,000-plus passing seasons, and he's entering a great situation for him in Minnesota. But he's not the guy that's going to create for you. He's the guy that, yes, we downplay just being able to execute, and that's very, very important. But also in the NFL, it's also more important than ever to be able to handle working off platform and extending plays. And that's where Alex Smith does excel far beyond what Kirk Cousins can do, because Cousins is that guy. He's a true pocket passer. He's going to give you exactly what you ask of him, and he's going to execute at a high level. But anything beyond that point where things start to break down, that's where he struggles, and he gets behind the chains, and the offense sputters. Smith can create for you more. He can do more things with an offense, and last year he was a better passer overall. So to that point, I absolutely agree with Jay Gruden and believe that they're better at that position than they were a year ago.
Yeah. Why did the Raiders cut Marquette King? I thought he was the stuff, man. I thought he was like the best punter since Ray Guy. What's up with that?
Well, two reasons. First of all, it's a financial decision because they were up against the cap, and he saved them $2.9 million with his release. But also, I'll give this credit for Bill Williamson, who out there reported that while it was a financial decision, it's a little bit of a message for John Gruden. Although I'm trying to figure out what message he's trying to send, because right now that's a retirement home of football players outside of Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Khalil Mack.
Maybe he thinks that they're not going to punt too much. Maybe he feels like they're going to be so good offensively with his offense in there that they won't have to punt too much.
Well, you know, Tommy, you asked me earlier about George Young. Let me go a throwback for you. Gruden's approach right now, since he's the one that has final say over the roster, and let's not beat around the bush, even though Reggie McKenzie's still the general manager, this approach, the way they're bringing in veterans and trying to maximize their final years, reminds me a lot of what George Allen used to do with the Washington Redskins. The similar type of approach, and I understand that Gruden has always stated that he prefers veterans who understand and can come into his system, which is complicated, and be able to pick it up and still execute. But this is a young man's game nowadays. It's changed since he was last head coach, and it's going to be an interesting experiment to see how they perform this year, because there is some young talent on the roster, but the addition of so many over 30-year-old veterans is really concerning to me.
Yeah. All right, Malcolm Butler, new Titans DB, he says that they probably win the Super Bowl if he plays in that game. What are your thoughts on that?
I can't necessarily argue. I understood the logic when you opened the game and you wanted a more physical cornerback like Eric Rowe, you know, jamming at the line of scrimmage, trying to reroute the Eagles receivers and Travis Kelce when he was flexed out. But when that didn't work through at any point during the first half, you know, sometimes you got to swallow your pride and realize your great X's and O's approach don't always work. It's time to adjust. And normally, we see that from Bill Belichick. He doesn't have much of an ego when it comes to trying to win games. It comes down to what he can do to put him in the best position to succeed. And he failed. He failed. And when you had opportunity to put one of the better cornerbacks, even though he struggled at points during 2017, to place him back into your lineup and offset those receivers who were easily beating some of your other cornerbacks, it should have been taken. It wasn't, and it could have cost you the game. I won't go as far as saying it absolutely did, because we all know exactly how Malcolm Butler would have reacted in those situations, but I think he was a better option, especially in the second half.
Marcus Mariota hasn't been able to play 16 games in any of his seasons yet, and now he's backed up by Blaine Gabbert. Much better option than Matt Castle? And by the way, irony there, because he was picked, I think, right after the Titans had picked Jake Locker. A lot of people thought they should have taken Blaine Gabbert, and Gabbert's only 28 years old, because Locker's been out of the league for a couple of three, 4 years now. It feels like, you know, Gabbert's like 35 years old or something, but he's only 28.
Well, first of all, you do get younger. Second of all, you have another quarterback who's athletic enough to use your full playbook if he's called into action, which you couldn't have done with Matt Castle. But other than that, that's about the nicest things I could say about the signing.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate you as always. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. Brent Soboleski has been our guest, and Sobo, we'll do it next week.
Thank you, Tom. Happy Easter to all those who celebrate out there.
All right. Thank you. And Passover. Got to throw the Passover in there, too. All right. Did we cover everybody? I think we covered Passover and Easter. We're pretty much covering everybody there, I think. All right. Let's get a break. When we come back, Josh Ward will join us. We'll turn to college football, and we'll do it with our SEC Insider next, right here on 730, 1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP.
Hey, gang. Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is on sale now. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at 7 area courses and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Links at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Links at Briarmead. A $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
When your small business is growing, you get familiar with the phrase, that's a good problem to have. Good problem one, you're too busy to answer the phone. Solution, Ooma Office. Its virtual receptionist directs calls to the right extension. Number two, new business is keeping you from the office. Solution, an Ooma mobile app that helps you take calls from anywhere. And three, it starts at just $19.95 a month. Well, no problem there. Just good. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA. Or call 866-840-8792 to find out more.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-360-4612. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now. 800-360-4612. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-360-4612. That's 800-360-4612.
Hey, this is Landrum Roberts from Three Man Front. Coming up Monday, we're joined by Alabama Athletics Director Greg Byrne at 11. And Aaron Suttles recaps his bachelor party from New Orleans. That's Monday, 10 to 2, right here on Sports Radio 730, The Ump.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here is the president of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
There are 143 million orphans in the world today, and another child becomes an orphan every 2 seconds. Food for Orphans is helping to end that suffering. Every dollar donated provides 2.5 meals, and every $100 will provide a meal to 250 innocent orphans. That's a real demonstration that someone loves them.
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
I'm a veteran. My victory was admitting I had PTSD and getting help.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I no longer see it as a weakness, but as a sign of strength. I call it post-traumatic growth.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran. I lost both legs in Vietnam.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was getting my benefits and a good education.
I'm a veteran. When I got out, I felt like Nora was safe.
My victory was finding the help I needed.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
Thanks to DAV, now I feel like I'm human again.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Weather is sponsored by Orkin. Termites aren't funny. $5 billion of damage a year won't have you busting a gut. Visit Orkin.com today to save 15% on termite control. Orkin Pest Control. Down to a science.
A very cool night tonight. The sky clear, the low down in the upper 30s at 39. Then tomorrow, a very nice warm-up. The sky sunny, the high at 70. And for now, it looks like we stay dry Sunday and Monday. A mix of sun and clouds both days. The high Sunday, 73. Monday's high at 76. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household. The big dog, Tom Abraham.
Carolina's first up in the spring games. Wow, Vanderbilt had some kind of picnic or something last week. I don't know, Vanderbilt. But South Carolina have their spring game, and our buddy Cole Kulick is going to be one of the officials out there. They're going to have all these officials out there. Shaw, the head of officiating for the SEC, is going to be the white hat, I think. I think that's what I understood. in that whole deal. Anyway, Josh Ward joins us, SEC Insider. Josh, welcome in. How are you?
Tom, doing well. Great to be with you.
That's going to be kind of a fun deal, what they're doing there at South Carolina with the, you know, with the different personalities and so on officiating, and I think that's going to be good.
Yeah, try to do something this time of year. We've seen different schools do that, try to liven things up a little bit. You can do that with officiating, coaching. We've seen schools try to redo what they have done in the past with team and roster makeup, but trying to mix things up can be fun at this time of year. And I think a lot of coaches, they get to the end of spring and they want to get out of it anyway, so they want to try to maybe change things up to make something different before spring ends. You head into the long rest of the off season of the late spring summer months.
What are you looking for in that game? Is there any particular thing that you're looking forward to see come out of that South Carolina game?
The offense, how they move, and what they're going to be moving forward is they've had a coaching change there on the offensive side, and Kurt Roper was a guy that was brought in. He's very well thought of, but Will Muschamp, 2 years in, even with the program having success, they have some changes there. And defensively, I think you trust that they're going to be okay under Will Muschamp as long as he's the coach. But offense is probably what costs overall Will Muschamp his job at Florida. And at South Carolina, they've, I think, done a really nice job the first couple of years, but want to go to a higher level. So what can they be? And you try to look and project long-term with Jake Bentley coming back as a third-year quarterback, that get a little healthier on the offensive side next year as well. But what that offense is going to be, I think, is going to affect how high South Carolina can go in the East and what it can do long-term trying to hold off Florida and Tennessee as they have coaching changes and they're trying to climb up in short-term. You know, Missouri's coming back with Drew Locke, so South Carolina might have to score some points with them as well this year.
Yeah, Drew Locke is a guy that people don't talk enough about when they talk about the guys that are coming back at quarterback in the SEC. How are things going in Knoxville, first spring ball under Jeremy Pruitt? Is there is it a tangible difference from the Alabama intern in his time there?
Well, I do think a lot of people want to try to compare what's going on now versus the previous coach. And you'll hear about organization and intensity on the practice field. And from what I can see when I've been out there there is an aggressive approach from the coaches challenging players to get them to understand what's expected of them and see who responds and see who can earn playing time, as it's a fresh start for everybody that's on the team, plus the newcomers that have arrived. But yeah, 5 years ago when Butch Jones took over for Derek Dooley, Butch Jones was being lauded for being different than Derek Dooley. And now Jeremy Pruitt, I think, is receiving praise because he is different from Butch Jones. But sure. Is there a ton to tell? I don't think so right now. But I think a couple of takeaways would be one at quarterback. I think they're pretty happy with what Jared Garantano has done so far, and he's going to have to battle Keller Crist for the starting quarterback position in the fall. And then I think you have some playmakers that have a chance to be good for Tennessee. They're trying to figure out what they're going to be on defense, and that's where expectation is the highest because Jeremy Pruitt's a former defensive coordinator, and he joked he's got to get used to being happy when the offense does well, because previously if the offense did well, that means his guys didn't do a good enough job. He's in a different position now.
Yeah. And there's no expectation for Will McBride, right? I mean, he's not. Is he pushing Garantano at all while they wait for Keller Crist to get there?
I don't think he is, realistically. Reps have been split up, and they've tried to do that with all position groups, trying to even out the reps. And Jeremy Pruitt has been very careful to not talk about any player, and that's not an exaggeration. It's difficult to get him to say anything about any player individually. It's about everybody being on the even playing field. And if he's asked about leaders, Jeremy Pruitt said, we don't know who the leaders are. I mean, they know who some of the leaders are. They know who some of the most important players are. And they know at quarterback it's Garantano or Keller Crist. So reps might be fairly split fairly evenly. But when it comes to the summer and August camp, it's going to be Garantano versus Keller Crist.
Yeah. Auburn, you know, coming back off of the offseason, one of the strengths of that team might have been wide receiver, and they've been dropping like flies. And now Will Hastings, it looks like he's out for all of 2018. They're talking about that possibility there. And so they're a week away from their spring game next Saturday, a game that won't be played with Jared Stidham. It's a good opportunity to look at the running backs, good opportunity to look at the two quarterbacks there. But, boy, you really start to wonder who will emerge now at wide receiver for Auburn after they've lost a couple of guys, potentially for all of next season.
Yeah, it's a big loss. More than 500 yards last season in the offense for Auburn. And I think you ask, okay, what is the running game going to look like plus the receiving options for Jared Stidham? And you've got an offseason if you're Gus Malzahn to figure that out. But when you lose experience and playmakers from an offense that was good and you hope to elevate with actually returning quarterback play, that's a concern. But I still think Auburn can be a good team this year. Part of the problem is, what is Alabama going to be? What is Georgia going to be if they continue? Georgia has to replace a good amount as well, but if they continue to be at such a high level, where there are two teams you know you have to go up against that are really good, plus a schedule that's not going to be easy. And then what can Jared Stidham be? How good he is at quarterback can maybe elevate the players around him, but no doubt the Hastings injury is a really disappointing one because he would have played a very important role in that offense.
Yeah, and they got some good-looking running backs. I mean, they may run the ball a little bit more even than they thought they wanted to going in. So we'll see what happens with that. One thing that they won't do is they won't build up the frequent flyer miles. Interesting piece at Saturday Down South talking about the teams in the SEC and their travel. And Auburn will only travel 848 miles to play five road games, the longest being 263 miles to Ole Miss, 170 miles the average road game. So they're not straying too far from home. Which is nice, whereas Missouri travels more than anybody else in the league, an average of 573 miles, and they're kind of an outpost in the league, so that may be right. But I thought that was a pretty interesting list here of where these teams were traveling.
Well, and the SEC has been criticized for that in the past, hasn't it? Some schools have, not all, but some schools have for staying in the Southeast and not being willing to go too far. And you still wonder about the future of that, because you get the neutral side games like Auburn's going up against Washington, but it's just down the road in Atlanta, and that geographically that's an advantage for Auburn this year. But a lot of SEC schools have been that way, but the home and home has become harder to find in college football. So I'd say you're going to look for non-conference, right? Because within conference play, it's always going to be fairly close unless you have a Florida Missouri situation or South Carolina, Texas A&M. But that's kind of been the SEC. That's the narrative, I think, around the SEC around the country. And sometimes it fits. And this might be one of those cases. Still, for Auburn, a challenging schedule when you have Alabama that's on the road and Georgia that's on the road, and you have to play LSU and Texas A&M like you typically will. We'll see what they are this year. And Washington's going to be a quality opponent, no doubt, out of conference. They get Tennessee this year with Tennessee being down in the first-year coach, so maybe a bit of a break there for Auburn. But still, Georgia and Alabama late in the season, both being on the road, will be really tough, and because of location, potentially tougher than they were last year.
I don't care if you got to walk across the street to play Alabama and Georgia. Those are going to be two brutal games. They're going to be really, really tough games there. It's interesting for Alabama. They're about in the middle of the pack. They'll average 323 miles. Their biggest trip is the one to Orlando to play Louisville in the opening weekend. And, I'm wondering if the shine is coming off of these neutral site games a little bit. We've seen some smaller crowds. Of course, the Florida State-Alabama one, that was a 1-2 game and 1-3 game. And, it was the first game in the new stadium in Atlanta. And I think all of those things contributed to the huge crowd that was there. But we've seen smaller and smaller crowds. And now the news that comes out that Alabama – is talking about going home and home with Texas and Notre Dame. I think he's got a lot of people fired up, and we've seen, think about Oklahoma doing the home and home with Ohio State, how great that was, and Georgia going up there and playing at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame going and playing at Georgia. I think that hopefully that this is going to be a way of the future. We're going to get back to this, and, Alabama traveling to Notre Dame and Alabama traveling, to Texas would be, I think, extremely interesting, regardless of the fact that they might not get the money that they would get if they were playing in Jerry's world against, USC or something.
Yeah, and I've been fairly torn the last few years. The neutral site games have given us really good matchups to get excited about at the start of the season, and that is probably priority number one, is getting good games. But there's, to me, there's something about the home and home, and that's a big part of the history of college football. And if college football wants to separate itself from the NFL, well, one of the things that's special is the college environment. And that comes with the home and home, not the corporate-like feel of a game in Atlanta or Dallas or Houston, where your both fan bases have to travel to see you play. And I mean, anytime we see it, it typically turns out, as long as both teams are pretty good, in pretty good shape, to be a really great game, really great atmosphere. Auburn-Clemson recently, if we're keeping it in the SEC with the conversation. Tennessee-Oklahoma, Oklahoma is a program that it's gone and played you. Tennessee's done that in the past, and Tennessee more recently has done neutral site games, which I've been fairly critical of. Like, Tennessee's opening up against West Virginia this year in Charlotte. I mean, that's a solid opponent. West Virginia is actually going to be favored against Tennessee, but what's special about Tennessee versus West Virginia and Charlotte when you could have them play each other home and home and have two unique fan bases maybe get to go see each other? So for the fan experience, for the overall feel of college football, I'm a much bigger fan of home and home. I'll still say I'll take the game. If we get a really good neutral site matchup, I'm not going to complain about seeing a good game, but I'd rather see those teams settle something with home and home. You know, think about it. For if it's a season where you would typically have a big home game against a non-conference opponent, that's one less game that your fans get to see at their stadium. That's one less game for that town and all the financial benefits that come with it. So that's another reason to throw in there that I prefer the home and home versus an out-of-town neutral site game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and you're already, you know, these fans are paying a lot of money, and you're already jamming them with, you know, the Citadel or, you know, North, South, East, West school and all of that. I mean, my gosh, you know, how exciting. It's great that you get, you know, your LSUs or your Georgia, whatever you're getting, you know, for your conference games. But how exciting to be able to bring, you know, a big name like that. And in case of Alabama, it's been since 2010, I think, when Penn State went to Alabama in 2011 when they went up there. I mean, that's the essence of it, I believe.
Yeah, totally agree. To have fans come to your place when it's a big-time opponent, that's always exciting. And then, of course, for fans to be able to travel and go see another stadium in college football, that's a part of the college football history as well. And then, yeah, the money that fans put in to be able to see their team at home. I mean, look at Georgia's schedule this year and what it will play at home. It's so unimpressive. And again, part of it's going to be what level of opponent are you facing. Like, Georgia, Tennessee is typically a pretty big game. Tennessee this year is not as big of a deal. But for Georgia, you play Florida and Jacksonville. You know, Auburn's a big game. But, you know, it's if you don't have a big non-conference game and some of your conference opponents are down, well, then you're really just going to have an unimpressive schedule, and that's going to cost your fans a lot of money. You can't guarantee what it's going to be, and every year is going to be a little bit different. But I would like to see schools do as much as they can for their fans to create college football-like environments, not NFL-like environments. And by the way, I say that as an NFL fan. I like NFL football, but there's a reason that college football is different and has a special feel.
How cool is it when the Georgia fans just overran Notre Dame Stadium last year or a few years ago, hearing the Penn State folks complain that Alabama ruined their whiteout because there was so much crimson. They did a whiteout in the game against Alabama. There was so much crimson in the stadium that it messed up the look of the whiteout, which, of course, ended up in a big Alabama win. So I just think that, you know, those are parts of it that make it so right. There's no doubt about it. All right, before I let you go, we won't talk until after we got a national champion in college basketball. So give me who beats who on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm going with the chalk of the Final Four, which goes against what this tournament has been to this point. But I do think Villanova is the best team there, and I think Michigan's the best team in its own matchup. I think Villanova and Kansas should be a really good one, and Kansas has been slept on the entire tournament, so it scares me to do that a little bit this weekend.
Yeah.
But I'll take Jalen Brunson and Villanova to get it done to face Michigan on Monday night and for Villanova to get another national title. But I think anybody can win it. I've heard a lot of people say that, and I do think it's true.
Well, you know, it is Easter weekend for the Final Four, and it would be very fitting if the two Catholic schools got in. I mean, I just think it would be a beautiful thing to see a little Villanova Loyola on Monday night. That would be fitting for the holiday, but I don't know.
Yeah, the joke has been that Loyola gave up losing for Lent. So Monday night, if Loyola is alive, we'll find out if that luck really ran out.
That's great. All right, man. Appreciate it as always, and we'll look forward to chatting.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right, thanks. Loyola gave up losing for Lent. I like it. I like that. All right, when we get back, if I got time for this, I want to get this in. If not, I got the top of the hour to get it in. Remember, we only got one segment at the top of the hour with Braves baseball coming up in a little bit. By the way, the Tigers scored four runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to tie the Pirates, and they're 10-10 in the 11th right now, okay? So I'm going to try and keep you posted on that as well. They got a crazy baseball game going on. The only afternoon game, well, now Cincinnati's playing as well, but we'll keep an eye on that for you as well. All right, it's Tom Abraham Show. Back with more after this on 730-1039, The Ump.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports. Now, it's time for your Atlanta Braves update.
Braves make history with a walk-off win on opening day. I'm Kevin McAlpin, and your Braves update's coming up next.
Become a Braves A-List member for the 2018 season and enjoy the best of what SunTrust Park has to offer. Visit Braves.com/A-List.
Thursday afternoon, in front of a sellout crowd at SunTrust Park, the Braves rallied from five runs down to stun the Phillies 8-5. Philly got a run in the first and would later bat around as part of a four-run top of the sixth, but the Braves offense responded with two of their own in the bottom of the inning on a two-run shot from Freddie Freeman, his first of the season. Then in the eighth, Ozzie Albies led the inning off with a homer, and after a run scored on a throwing error, Preston Tucker's RBI single tied the game at 5. Then with the game tied at 5-5 in the bottom of the ninth, after an intentional walk to Freddie Freeman, upstepped Nick Markakis.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball hit to right and hit deep. Altair going back, looks up. It is gone! Three-run homer to win the game for Nick Markakis.
Jim Powell with the call for Markakis. It marked his first career walk-off homer and the first for the Braves on opening day in Atlanta franchise history. Meanwhile, the series continues later on tonight as Mike Foltynewicz matches up against fellow right-hander Nick Pivetta. Hear the call live from SunTrust Park right here on the Braves Radio Network. First pitch is set for 7:35 p.m. Eastern. With the Braves, I'm Kevin McAlpin for the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-890-6013.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat?
You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team! Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this! Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. Got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
If your skin could talk, would you listen?
As your skin, I forgive you. I forgive you for poking and popping me when I broke out at 14. I forgive you for that awful belly ring hole you left in me when you were 15. I forgive you for damaging me before prom, on spring break, and at tanning salons when you were 16, 17, 18. But I'm your skin, and if you continue to tan, I hope you can forgive me. Forgive me when wrinkles begin to show and I start developing age spots. Forgive me if I develop melanoma when you're only 22. So please, I'm asking you to stop. Stop tanning now. Our future depends on it.
Protect your skin from melanoma, the second most common cancer in young women 15 to 29 years old. And protect your future. Learn more at spotskincancer.org. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
A very cool night tonight. The sky clear, the low down in the upper 30s at 39. Then tomorrow, a very nice warm-up. The sky sunny, the high at 70. And for now, it looks like we stay dry Sunday and Monday. A mix of sun and clouds both days. The high Sunday, 73. Monday's high at 76. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
Ballman has a fantastic question, Tina. Maybe you can find the answer. I'm doing a sports talk radio show over here. He wanted to know what Josh Dobbs' score was on a Wonderlic.
I'm on it.
I mean, dude's, you know, he's a rocket scientist, right? I mean, if you're going to be a rocket scientist, don't you think that that's, you know, something that you'd want to know? I think that that's something that you'd want to know. All right, I'm gonna hold my story. There's something I want to get to. That's a fun story. I'm gonna hold that till the top of the hour. I got a little bit more room. Let me give you a couple of notesy things. Of course, you probably heard this by now. Former Titans linebacker coach Lou Spanos has been added to the Crimson Tide staff. Not sure if he'll be making the $35,000 to Tide or already paying intern Butch or not. And here's something to ponder as well, which I think is interesting. Should Jonas Williams move back to right tackle if Tua Tagovailoa is the Tide quarterback? I mean, blind side, baby! Right? Got to protect that blind side. I mean, that's the one thing when the Raiders, when Kenny Stabler was the quarterback of the Raiders, they always had a left-handed backup. David Hum was his backup for a long time. I mean, it changes a lot of things in your offense. But do you put your blind side tackle on the right? Is Jonas Williams that much better? I guess it depends on how you feel about Jedrick Willis or Matt Womack being a right tackle. Dobbs got a 29? 29, Vol, man. That's not great.
He's right there with he's right there with Dennis Dixon from Oregon a while back, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Savage, Aaron Murray. A lot of 29.
I mean, it's better than average,
yeah.
But it's not rocket scientist guy stuff.
T.J. Watt, Danny Woodhead, Jordan Matthews, some other guy.
T.J. Watt got a...
Jeff Driscoll got a 29.
And NCAA President Mark Emmert said yesterday that schools are not interested in paying players, we're speaking mostly about basketball, and making them employees of the universities. but he is all for them having the ability to go pro out of high school if money is their priority. I mean, I know he was talking about basketball because he referenced meeting with the NBA and agents on this. Football is a whole other deal because it's a health issue. But should the NFL have its own minor league, or should the NFL be able to draft, say, sophomores and be able to pay them while they play in college, which is my personal best plan? Get your education, they'll pay. And if a guy is good enough to move up or big enough, physical enough to move up to the big club, so be it. Think about that. Chew on that a little bit. Just chew on that a little bit. All right, we'll come back. Fab Five-ish next.
730-1039 AM. The Ump. WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump.
The durability of tile. The beauty of wood. It's easier than ever to have both with Wood Look Tile. The Home Depot makes the wood look floor you want affordable with Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at $1.89 a square foot. It truly is the best of both worlds. Durable and beautiful. Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at just $1.89 a square foot. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest, I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So, get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. I mean, got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
Want to tell you about my friends at Madison RV Supercenter. If you're in the market for a fifth wheel, travel trailer, toy hauler, maybe a motorhome, Class A or Class C, Madison RV Supercenter has used and new inventory for you. The prices are second to none. You can finance it on site. You can rent RVs at Madison RV Supercenter. Trade yours in. Come check out the parts and service department as well. Go to MadisonRV.com or call 256-837-3888.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team. Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this. Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take red. 800-890-6013.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the most dynamic young players in the league are ready to get their chop on.
Hit hard to left and deep. Back to the wall. That ball is gone. Dansby Swanson.
Tonight, opening weekend continues. WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The